Welcome to episode.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to episode 104 of the Lifecast.
Exactly.
I'm your host, Deanna Manassian, here with Greg Fernandez.
Yo.
Dan Sylvia.
Yo.
And Kennedy Parker, all the way from Oklahoma.
I'm back.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes, you are. You were here for Anime Boston, at which you did at least one panel.
I did. I hosted two, yeah. And then I co-hosted another.
There you go. At least one.
Two and a half is indeed at least one. That's accurate. That's very accurate.
And yeah, Anime Boston was this weekend.
It was pretty cool.
Yeah, who went? We didn't go.
Well, me and Dan did.
Dan and Kennedy went.
It was pretty good. I feel like if it weren't for Steve Bloom and Flo being there, it would be pretty uneventful.
Oh, okay.
But those two things in general, they made up for everything. Steve Bloom is a cinnamon roll. Flo has such enormous energy. If you ever get the chance to see Flo live, I cannot even begin to recommend it enough. My feet were bleeding by the end of the concert. I didn't care. It was worth it. It was so fucking cool.
Now, which one is Flo again?
Jibun Wo.
What?
One more time.
Jibun Wo. You ever heard of Code Geass?
Code Geass opening.
Oh.
Fighting Dreamers.
Yeah, I was about to say, you probably know them for doing Fighting Dreamers from Naruto.
I know a bunch of anime OPs, just not by name. So if you started singing, I would have been, Jibula!
Yo, real talk, me and Dan were wearing shirts.
Said Jibun, mine said whoa.
Oh my god.
It was great.
When you they did the started couple shirts thing too, guys.
You're in a podcast with two full weebs and one half weeb. How does it feel?
I'm like a quarter weeb.
Quarter weeb.
I did get the only merch I got. I had someone pick up for me. Ash did. Was I got two Spirited Away? I got one Spirited Away pin and one Howl's Moving Castle pin. And then Ash picked me up a charm, an acrylic charm that says Dungeon Master. And one.
Oh man, shit! Wait, let me show you something cool.
And one acrylic charm of Todoroki from My Hero Academia.
I never took him out of my bed.
And he looks so adorable. He's my boy. He's not the boy. Let's be entirely clear.
No, I'm talking to Dan.
It's Palumu! Oh my god!
He's a nugget.
He's a nugget. But yeah. Anime Boston was this weekend, and half of us went. But I feel like you guys covered pretty much all of it.
So we got Steve Blum and Flo.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was.
Steve Blum is an amazing person.
Other than the two of them, it was fairly uneventful.
Yeah.
Not the best Anime Boston, but definitely not bad by any means at all.
Yeah.
When I went to line up for Steve Blum and got a picture with him, he's so friendly. He talks to everyone.
That's
like
really
full
nice
conversations.
Yeah.
Like I talked to him about like how I'm a film student, and by the end of all of it, we were just like talking about like cameras we have and like cool shit on that. And at the end, he shook my hand and said, "Welcome to the entertainment industry." It was really
nice.
Cool.
Having that kind of approval from one of your favorite voice actors is just, I can't speak from experience, but that just must be the best.
It's so good.
And then PAX East is this weekend.
Oh, my God.
And all of us are going to be there for at least a couple days.
At least a couple. Dude, so I have been going to conventions for 11 years.
Okay.
Almost half of my life.
Yeah.
And this is the first time in all these years that I have done back-to-back conventions.
Oh, yeah.
And it's both really stressful but also really exciting. I am not going to lie.
I just do not stop at all during PAX weekend. If I have a focus,
I feel.
So I'm excited. I'm excited to also not spend $200 in like 15 minutes.
Oh yeah.
But what about when you see them fancy dice towers?
We'll get to that later. that is actually a question we have, but we will get to it later. I don't think we're doing anything special at PAX East.
I mean, there's a couple indie games.
Yeah.
I know I'm looking forward to, but.
I'm looking forward, like, apparently Soul Calibur 6 is going to be there.
Oh, that's
so
nice.
So I'm super excited for that.
Yeah, I want to try that.
I really hope Ghost of Tsushima is there.
Mm. I'm just looking forward to, like, just being there.
I mean, yeah, real
and, like, not
real
working
talk
for a weekend,
yeah,
honestly.
Yeah, there's definitely a lot of that. I'm going to spend my Thursday scouting things out.
Yes.
If I find nothing interesting, I'm going to spend the next 3 days playing Dungeons & Dragons.
Hey.
All right.
Very nice.
Literally, that's just what I'm going to do.
Okay.
Hopefully I find something I like.
Yeah, Thursday is my scout day. Friday, Saturday is doing stuff, and then I think Sunday is the big line day for me and Dave. So we also have like three panels we want to get to on Friday, but one of them is just not gonna happen.
Which one is that?
I think 404ing it is the one we're gonna have to skip.
Which one is that?
It's Pat Bear and a couple of other like Giant Bomb affiliated people. Mm-hmm. They just show themselves like people cool videos.
Okay.
So it's good. We went to it last year, but there's a lot of other panels we want to get to. I think the improvised postmortem is maybe around that time.
Okay.
Or something else, but.
Yeah, I haven't bothered looking up any of that stuff.
Yeah.
Probably should.
I saw some panels that looked interesting, but not like interesting enough to warrant leaving the show floor. Because, you know, me and Dan are only there for 2 days.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
We really gotta use our time wisely.
No, yeah. That's so understandable.
There are definitely panels I'd go to if I were there all 4 days. But again, I think we both want to use our time on the show floor.
I might go to the History of SNK panel with Colin just because they're going to announce things there, apparently. And SNK recently went through this whole ordeal of getting all of their IPs ready to be used. So I really want to see what they're going to do with that.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Is that it? I'm pretty sure we'll have more next week.
Well, obviously, we're actually next done week we'll have with been PAX. Back from PAX.
Yeah. 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 Then we could do our, you know.
Then we can do our PAX recap.
Yeah.
Also, it snowed today.
Yeah.
And then it got really hot after.
Yeah. Fuck New England. Fuck global warming.
The snow was literally melting as it touched the ground.
Yes, it was. Fuck the gloominess that it brought over my entire life. It made me sleepy all of today.
But snow? Snow makes you sleepy?
Yeah, snow and rain make me very sleepy.
I get rain, but I don't know. Snow.
I feel like it was because it wasn't sticking and because it was like melting as it touched the ground. It was so like, it was it's much raining. Rain. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I also showed up to work an hour early instead of like, you know, sleeping.
Yeah, I've done that before. And the worst part is it's like, for me, it's always like 2 hours. I show up 2 hours too early. And then I go home and try to sleep, and it doesn't work.
Yeah.
I just lay in bed for fucking like 60 minutes.
Yep.
Some would say an hour.
No, you watch an entire episode.
Yes.
We're not going to get into that. I did watch the interview, like the one with Stormy Daniels.
Oh.
It's all right, yeah.
I haven't watched it yet, but I plan on it.
I mean, it's nothing extraordinary. I will say that.
But this whole situation is extraordinary.
No, it's probably not, actually.
Well, the press it's getting is extraordinary.
Yeah.
I think it's a very interesting situation, but that probably isn't very on brand for this podcast.
No, it's not. We might start up another, like, current, like, podcast. I know Sydney wanted to. Like, do some, like, social justice-y news type of stuff, which I'm all for. Anyway, I have one piece of gaming news, and it's that No Man's Sky has announced No Man's Sky Next, which is an update, an expansion, and or expansion, slash, some would say, coming this summer. And honestly, despite its bummer of a launch, the devs have been really doing what they can to improve the game and win players back from that.
It certainly helps, though.
Oh, yeah. They're really dedicated to making it better.
Really fucking hope so. I mean, after that launch was so bad, it's legendary.
I feel
where do you go from? Like, at that point, you're at rock bottom. You got nowhere to go but up.
Right. Yeah. I feel like a lot of it was people hyping it up, like, almost definitely.
Oh, for sure.
But they did promise a lot and did not deliver on almost all of it. Let me be entirely clear.
They shot themselves in the foot. We can't blame the consumers here. They promised the world and back. They promised 1,000 worlds and back.
I think it was a mixture of both, but it was more so that, you know, a lot of the consumers got hyped because they were promising all these things that they ultimately couldn't deliver, or at the very least, you know, couldn't deliver in a timely fashion when they said that they would.
Yeah. But I haven't played since the last, like, big update in, like, 2016?
Yeah. I think so, yeah.
I played last year after their first, like, big, like, we're doing a lot for you update, and it felt like a kind of different game. So I'm excited to see what they do with this one.
I can't wait for them to charge for it and then immediately it's become free. Public enemy
they've,
number
they've,
one.
They've already said it's going to be a free update, and they are bringing the game to Xbox 360. Not... Xbox One.
What? That would be hilarious. No. I hope they are bringing it to the 360.
No, they're not.
Tell me that is true.
It's not true.
That would be hilarious.
I misspoke.
Is it also coming out on the PS2?
No, I misspoke. And I don't appreciate you making fun of me on my own podcast. I know you came from Oklahoma to be here, but you don't have to be on this podcast. But yeah, the dev blog has had a steady trickle of updates for this update, and they've been, blog posts for the update, and they've been really transparent about what they're doing, and like that they've been listening to people. So
Like, in order for anything with this game to go well, they have to literally be saints the entire way through.
Yeah. And they're really committed to it, I think.
Yeah, and it's fine because with the amount of money this game still made despite being, you know, the most infamous game released probably ever, you know.
I wouldn't say ever, but in 2016, maybe the late 2010s, yeah, for sure. Yeah. I can't really think of many other things that really rival it. Maybe maybe Mighty Number 9.
What would you think would be the most infamous game of all time?
Of all time?
ET on the Atari 2600?
Yeah, dude, absolutely.
Hey, speaking of the Atari 2600.
Oh, look at that sick transition.
In this segment, I'm going to title Badents.
Badents?
Badents, like bad patents.
Okay.
It used to be called something else, but I can't say it because another podcast does it, and I'm not great at names. Anyway, we're going to talk about the Joy Board for the Atari 2600. It only had one game specifically made for it.
And what game is that?
Mogul Maniac, which came out in 1982.
Wonderful.
It is a balance board. It's just a joystick that you balance on.
So many of those came out at that time.
A lot of people
are like the future. Because in the future, we're all balancing on our game controllers like surfboards.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Haven't you seen like those fucking ads for the internet from the 90s where the kid
is like literally
on the
surfing.
Skateboard, like going through the internet because he's surfing the web?
Yeah. Welcome. I'm your internet guide.
Yeah.
But some people are quick to compare it to the Wii Fit board because it does have that same balance mechanic. But it's like just a joystick that you rock back and forth on. It doesn't have any pressure sensitivity or anything like that.
I haven't thought about Wii Fit in like 7 years.
I know. I actually could not find the U.S. patent for this thing.
That's hilarious.
But I still wanted to talk about it because it's my podcast and fuck you. So some highlights are in the Amiga operating system's development, the thing crashed so frequently that devs would use the Joy Board as a relaxation tool by sitting on it so still that they wouldn't activate any of the latches.
That's hilarious.
Doing this gave way to the guru meditation error, where if you failed, it would crash the system.
Oh my god.
At least how I understood this, the like research I did on this error, which is equivalent to the blue screen of death in Windows. The guru meditation error would occur whenever the Amiga board would crash. The Amiga would crash. Red alerts, like there would be a little alert window that would pop up in the corner of the screen. Red meant you're done, just reboot the system. You fucked up real bad. And then green and yellow meant that it could be debugged and fixed.
That's hilarious.
So yeah, now you know about the Joy Board.
That brought me a lot of joy. I'm
so glad.
I mean, you know, at least that one tried to work. A lot of those, like, boards just, like, didn't do anything to begin with.
Yeah.
Like, the NES had this peripheral called the Roland Rocker. And it was, like, a plate of hard plastic wrapped around a ball. And you just stood on it and you, like, shifted and effectively just fell.
That's fucking cool.
It was supposed to emulate a D-pad, so you would go right, up, down, and it just wouldn't work.
So who is this for? Like
me.
Okay. For people who wanted to be a little active when playing video games, I guess.
But honestly, like real talk, it's probably to sell the whole image of the future.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, Nintendo especially, like, they fucking loved doing that in the 90s, like with the fucking Power Glove and the. Yeah. What was the one that looked like a twister board but wasn't? Y'all know what I'm talking about?
I know what you're talking about.
I know
specifically what you're talking about because it was like, it was kind of like a DDR pad.
Yeah.
Like one of those rollout DDR pads.
Yeah, yeah.
And it had
like numbers on them.
Yeah. It had eight buttons in two colors because it was supposed to represent two controllers. And it was like A and B up front.
Yes.
And then like the D-pad underneath or something like that.
Yeah.
And it worked, but it wasn't good.
But anyway, I can only assume it was to help sell the image of the future, especially because at the time, you know, late 80s, early 90s, you know, sci-fi shows were starting to look a lot cooler. I mean, look no further than Star Trek: The Next Generation. And
the
they wanted to achieve
special effects.
Exactly. And a lot of games, you know, wanted to achieve that same aesthetic, I can only assume.
But
and that's why they made these, because it made people think the future's here, the future's now, Star Trek is upon us.
But I feel like with Star Trek, they had like a decent or like a somewhat cool interpretation of what the future might look like.
Yeah, for sure.
Oh my god.
But meanwhile, video games are, what if everything was a box and the worst shade of gray possible?
Yo, real talk. Real talk. Star Trek, look into Gene Roddenberry's like just notes like of how he envisioned the 22nd and 24th centuries for Star Trek, which is, you know, how they built the universe of the original series and especially the Next Generation. Gene Roddenberry, while he was alive when it was airing, you know, had a very heavy hand in the creation of the universe of the Next Generation and was very detailed in why things were the way they were, because he was like, you know, saying, like, I feel like we can achieve world peace if we really try, and that's what Starfleet is there to symbolize, you know, how we can do this if we all work together, and that's the goal of Starfleet and all that. Just look into how he writes about how he envisions the future. It's so fascinating.
What's the name again?
Gene Roddenberry. He's the original creator of Star Trek.
Gene Roddenberry, okay.
So we're going to do another Five Links to Lost, because I think everyone really likes this segment.
What?
Five Links to Lost is where I send you guys to a Wikipedia page. Two of you.
It'll have to be them. My phone's dead.
Oh, okay. So you can judge this then.
Oh, fucking cool.
You two will go to a Wikipedia page, the Wikipedia page for Betty Careless. You can grab my phone and use it. It might be a little slow. I'm going to need my phone for the next segment, too.
I have no reception.
I probably don't either.
I'm trying to log in.
I have some reception, but I don't.
Wait, I wonder if I have Wi-Fi.
Oh, do you have Wi-Fi? If you have Wi-Fi, use yours, because my data speeds are slowed.
Yeah, I'm signed on to the.
No. No, it's actually my T-Mobile cut my data because I use more than 5 gigabytes in a month.
Oh.
Okay.
We should make a podcast about Star Trek references.
You can do that.
I would love that.
I'll join and be like, wow.
Wow.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
Wow, I've never I love seen a single Star episode. War.
I haven't seen much Star Wars either.
I haven't seen any Star
but
Wars.
But once you guys get your devices up and running.
Where are we going?
Go to the Wikipedia page for Betty Careless, a notorious prostitute and bathhouse owner in 18th century London.
What an amazing cool. name.
And you guys.
I may just not be able to do this.
Oh, shit.
Because my student email password reset and I can't change my email password because I don't have data, so I can't connect to the Wi-Fi.
Oh, fuck. Okay. Here.
Don't worry, I'll play
by
myself.
Was it just not meant to be today?
I'll play by myself. Okay.
Mine's going to be slow, but you can use it.
Okay.
It's fine. We got 30 seconds. Just pick quickly.
You only have 30 seconds to find a link. You don't have to click on it. We'll wait. All right, it's loading.
Okay.
So I'm going to give you guys 30 seconds. And five rounds.
Okay.
To find your thing.
What are they looking for?
They're looking
for... explain the rules.
Just a link. So the objective of the game is to get as lost as possible from this Wikipedia page.
Ah! Oh, it's one of those games.
Yes, it's one of
those
games.
Oh my god, I've played this before.
You're not supposed to get to anything specific, just like the most outlandish thing you can possibly find.
Yeah, I've played this and also the version where it's like whoever can get to like a certain topic
in the
Wiki
least
Wars.
Amount.
Huh? Wiki Wars.
Yeah, it's kind of like Wiki Wars.
Yeah.
But they're going to have 30 seconds in each of five rounds to find a link. And then once the timer stops, you can click on it. So use your time wisely and begin.
Boom, 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 boom.
Yeah, I'll put music under this.
Okay.
In the real thing.
Doesn't this game kind of favor whoever has the better internet / data speed?
No, because you were both loaded in before. Because they have 30 seconds
they
to
were
like,
both loaded
find
into the same page, but like when they're going to start hopping links, they're going to need a good speed.
No, you only have 30 seconds to find a link you want to click on.
And then we wait for round two where we pick one more link.
Yes.
Oh, it's like multiple rounds.
Three, two, one, stop.
Okay.
All right. Did you both find a link?
Yes.
Okay. Let me know when your page loads.
Mine's loaded.
Loaded.
Okay, this is round two of five. Begin. So, how have you been?
Oklahoma.
Same.
As Oklahoma is.
I haven't been in Oklahoma, but my life has just been shit lately.
Would you, can I tell the listeners a fun fact?
Yeah.
The day we
you
are
have 10 seconds to do it.
The day we are recording this is the same day of the teacher walkout.
Oh, yeah, yeah,
in
yeah.
Oklahoma, which
three
is
seconds.
Awesome.
2, 1. Squat. Find your link and click on it, then tell me when you're loaded in.
Clicked. Loaded.
Great.
How many rounds I'm going back to my
We're doing five.
Five, okay.
Where is it? Here it is.
Okay.
All right. My page is loaded.
Okay. Begin.
Okay, okay, okay.
This is 3 of 5. Oh. Hey, Dan, if I get any messages, can you, like, let me know?
Sure.
You have 10 seconds remaining. These rounds go a lot faster than I've thought.
Don't worry, I've already found my link.
Three,
I don't even need to read another word.
1.
All right.
Loaded.
I'm worried.
Let us begin round 4.
All right, where do I go from here?
Start.
Okay.
The results are always fascinating. Oh, the winner has to read their like process back to us, but the loser can't because they lost. Actually,
who cares?
Yeah.
Yeah, who cares? You're a loser.
You didn't do good enough. You didn't wow us. 10 seconds left.
You didn't show us enough versatility.
I know. And now you must lip sync for your life.
You got that reference.
I did.
Oh shit.
Stop.
All right.
Fuck, I'm stuck on like a table. I'm trying to scroll, but like the table has like a different scroll method.
Oh, I hate those. Alright, let me know when you're loaded in.
I'm loaded in.
Okay. How come my friggin' phone internet is working so fast for you?
I don't know.
Maybe I'm just impatient.
All right. Maybe your phone just hates you in particular.
I better not be. I paid for it. I brought it to life in this establishment.
Hall.
You ready?
Yes.
Round 5 begin.
No pressure or anything, but like...
But Kennedy's very hard to please.
But I'm very hard to please, you know, with
such picky eaters only eat ketchup on mac and cheese.
Honestly, I'm not a picky eater.
No, I know you're not. That was the joke.
Dan is a picky eater.
I'm really not. You're
he
just
is.
So not
10
picky
seconds.
That you think I am.
Dan is very picky. He won't even eat the best ice cream flavor.
Which is what? Pistachio. Stop. I don't like pistachio ice cream either.
Why? Pistachio's gross.
It's great.
I don't like pistachios.
Greg, how do you feel about
stop.
Pistachios?
All right. I've found my link. I just have to scroll back to it.
Okay.
What'd you say, Greg?
I do not eat.
You don't eat.
I don't eat food.
Greg, we
that a lot of people
talk
eat.
About okay, yeah.
I am very simple in my desires. I like meat and I like rice and mashed potatoes.
The page scrolled slightly and I hit the wrong link. God damn it.
You must stay with it.
Okay, never mind. It worked.
Okay.
It has to load,
so,
but I got to it.
Read your link, your right. page, Dan.
All right. Well, I got to the Shanghai subway system.
Great.
Rob Schneider.
All right, Kennedy. Who wins?
Well, I am very curious. Whereas I am very curious about how you got to the Shanghai bus system, I'm very curious how you got to Rob Schneider. So I'm going to give this one to Greg.
Okay.
So I'm a big fan of my how I got here. So
I
from Rob Schneider.
Curious. Yeah.
I went back to. We're going back one. I am on. You don't mess with the Zohan.
Okay. Oh wait, I think I know where this is going.
Yeah, actually. It's pretty straightforward. And if I go back one more, I actually go back to Rob Schneider himself.
Okay.
And then from Rob Schneider, I'm in Gigolo. From Gigolo, prostitute. And back from prostitute, we are at Betty Careless.
Okay.
That is
actually both went for prostitute on our first pick.
Yeah. Wow. The Betty Careless's page is actually really small, but I was really happy.
I wanted to pick like a limited one to see if anyone would go
through.
We
really
the same
wanted
path.
To push your creativity.
Yeah, yeah.
Through prostitute, I was able to get to the English speaking world.
But yeah, I'm like round 3, I was at Rob Schneider, and I'm like, how do I get better than Rob Schneider? I was really happy that I was able to go to a film he was in and then back to Rob Schneider.
That's great. And then let me hit you with a fun fact before I do a new segment that I haven't told you guys about yet. Published.
Published.
in 1974 in the Journal of Applied Behavior Analysis. The unsuccessful self-treatment of a case of writer's block has no words.
You said this was an academic journal?
Yeah, it's a legitimate academic peer-reviewed journal.
Who wrote it? Are they still alive? Can I shake their hand?
Let me see.
That is amazing. I didn't think academics had a sense of humor. Yeah.
The unsuccessful treatment of writer's block. It is written by Dennis Upper.
Is he alive? Upper. Can I shake his hand?
I think he is alive. Yes. Let me.
To Wiki.
For your last name to be Upper in the 70s must have been really unfortunate. You'd have to have.
A He's alive and he lives in Massachusetts.
Oh my god.
All right.
Fucking wild.
I need to meet him and thank
Dr. Dennis Upper, we salute you.
Thank you for your contributions. For your work.
Wow. Okay. And then give me a minute to set up for this one.
All right. Deanna's excited.
Oh, boy.
Yes. I am indeed.
What have we signed ourselves up for, friends?
You know.
I don't know. That's why I'm asking.
Oh, alrighty. Okay.
I haven't thought about Don't Mess with the Zohan since it came out in 2008.
Yeah, for real? Like movies that you forget exist until someone brings them up.
All right, are you guys ready?
Born.
Go for it.
She's doing...
She has her phone.
Can you hear it?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Okay, now I want you to tell me, is it ska?
I'd have to call a lifeline.
I'm gonna say no because I didn't hear any trumpets.
No, that I'd have to say no ska.
It is ska.
It is ska. No,
yes, it's called 3/4 Reggae by One Drop. One Drop is a ska band.
That's the name of my ska band.
Wow. How did you know it wasn't ska then? You wrote this ska song, Kennedy.
Because I wanted to throw you off. Mm-hmm. I can't have y'all knowing that I'm actually a ska overlord.
And now we'll... A lot of questions, I guess.
All right.
All right.
This show's pretty short.
Let's get those sweet questions.
All right. So from Jess, whom I harassed for questions.
Thank you, Jess.
Thank you, Jess. What's the craziest thing you've spent money on at a convention?
Oh, God.
Oh, my Jesus.
A Ryu body pillow.
Thank you.
As the only financially responsible person at the table, I must say, no, just playing.
You were talking about you couldn't save money earlier.
That's because I have bills, baby. That's a different.
That's true.
The weirdest, the dumbest
Tell
thing?
Tell you what, like, while you think of that, no, I know
the craziest thing.
Craziest. Yeah.
You can think of that if you need to, because I already know my answer.
All right.
All right, motherfucker. I purchased, with my own cash money, with $150, a copy of Dot Hack Quarantine.
Okay.
That game, I paid $150 for it. I mean, that's how much it's worth. In fact, it's usually closer to $200, but like... I spent a triple-digit figure on a video game, and I think about that every day. It was fucking worth it. It was fucking worth it. I don't know if y'all have noticed, but I love Dot Hack.
We'll get to the second part of our part of this three-part question in a minute. Greg?
The craziest thing I've spent money on at a convention.
Yes.
So, it wasn't anything in specific, but... I believe it was Shine. Shine had a lot of great merch in general. And there was actually so much good Peach merch, as in Peach, Princess Peach, from Super Smash Bros. Melee, all involving the Stitch face, that I became a Peach main so I could then rock all the six, you know, the sick merch that involved the Stitch face.
Nice. And what is the thing you've spent the most amount of money on? It? Oh, I didn't answer the first one. The craziest thing I've probably bought at a convention would be I bought like a handmade dice rolling codex and dice rolling mat.
Oh yeah, that thing.
I also bought a set of dice to go with it. The thing was they didn't have the like pattern and combination I wanted in stock, So they offered to make it for me and then send it to me for free.
That's amazing.
Which was like actually fucking cool. If you ever run into Elderwood Academy, I'm going to go ahead and endorse them on this podcast because they're really cool. But if you ever run into Elderwood Academy at any convention, their stuff is great. And I don't let it leave my house almost always because I'm afraid of breaking it.
I feel.
And then what is the thing you've spent the most money on at a convention?
Still dot hack quarantine.
I bought a really, really
yeah, like
large,
the singular thing, not.
Yeah, I bought a really large Bowser plushie. Okay. It's like $40, and it's not, honestly, it's not that big, actually. It's a pretty average size Bowser plushie for $40.
I don't know, probably somewhere in the $40 to $60 range. Probably a Super Robot Chogokin Mazen Kaiser.
Okay.
I think that's like $65, something like that.
Yeah, that whole package was like $200 for me.
Mm. Yeesh.
Yep.
But on the topic of merch stuff, body pillows are actually very soft and very comfortable.
Yeah, they're supposed to be.
I would unironically recommend buying a body pillow because they're so fucking
comfy. So how do you like...
Oh, and are the most expensive and the craziest thing the same thing?
Yeah.
Yes. For me, no.
No.
Okay.
So back to the body pillow.
Sorry. Yeah, let's take a minute to talk about body pillows.
How does one interact with the body pillow? Do you like... You like wrap your legs around it.
And I don't know. I think everyone just has their own thing. I just kind of lay on it.
It's kind of like, I think it's just however you cuddle in general.
Okay.
Like, you know, for some, or some people actually just use it to rest their head. My friend actually
like roll around a lot.
My friend at Anime Boston this weekend, they bought a One of All Might. They've been referring to it as, quote, Big Titty All Might. and they posted pictures earlier on Instagram. They just put it on their bed, just horizontally, and they just rested their other pillow on it so that they could just lean over and look at his titties. But
I'm really here for this. I want a body pillow with Small Might on it, though.
For bonus points, we actually, so this same friend of mine really likes Garrus from Mass Effect.
Okay.
And we saw this one booth, and they did body pillows of Garrus, and they put them on bookmarks also for $2. So they effectively took home two body pillows, a real one of Big Titty All Might, and then a bookmark of body pillow Garrus.
Yeah.
I guess there's a lot of creativity with what the Vicarian, or not the Vicarian, the, I'm blanking on the name of the race. Garrus Vicarian. They are known as...
The Lizard.
Whatever. We never
I've never played.
We've never seen them
fuck.
Without their armor. So I'm curious.
I mean, he still has his armor on.
Yeah.
Okay.
He's a never nude.
Oh, he's a, oh.
You've heard it here first. Garrus
Vicarian's a never nude.
And then this is one from me because I was thinking about it earlier. What is a gaming or esports related aspiration or pipe dream that you have?
I want turn-based JRPGs to get released consistently again. And I want at least most of them to be good. I want it to be like, I want us to enter another phase that we were kind of in for like the SNES and the PS1, where there were just consistently multiple really good turn-based JRPGs coming out. We were even in this like in certain stages of the PS2, like early PS2. You know, we had like Final Fantasy X, we had Shadow Hearts. You know, fucking stuff like that coming out fairly consistently in the early days. I want that to happen again.
Yeah. I will echo a similar thought, but just with good single player game. We're definitely trending back towards that, but I hope it continues. I would definitely love for just sort of like high quality single player games to be, instead of like only Nintendo can sell an insane amount, I'd like to have everyone be able to sell an insane amount of just single player, high quality games instead of, you know, this whole games for servers bullshit.
Yeah.
You know what's always single player? Turn-based JRPGs.
Yes, I agree, but I do. I'm a fan of many genres.
No, I think our goals coincide.
Yes.
And we can make this happen.
Dan, do you have one?
Let me think. If you have one, you can go ahead.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. My pipe dream that I might actually make into a reality is being a tournament organizer. I have a relative who does event planning, and since esports are kind of like on the rise.
I wouldn't say kinda.
I mean, they're definitely on the rise.
Yeah.
Like, yes.
Yeah.
I'd want to go into like being at least the mediator or the organizer for those types of events specifically. So I think that could be really cool.
Yeah.
I think I'd be good at it, too.
I think I can bounce off of that. So I want fighting games that aren't Street Fighter to get a spotlight, period.
Yes.
Yeah.
Like, that's it.
Yeah. FPL.
And that is a pipe dream of it.
No,
fighting,
yeah.
Fighting games not being Street Fighter, like, being talked about. Like, yeah.
Yeah, no, that is...
That'd be pretty lit. Mm.
Yeah, super echo that one. Mm. Just because it's like, because I watch a lot of esports.
Yeah.
And fighting games are personally my favorite. I really like the sort of one-on-one aspect of it. I love, like, the intensity, you know, of it all. And the fact that it's, like, the lowest esport is just kind of depressing, yeah. Honestly.
I just kind of wish there were more, like, types of fighting games to watch on Twitch.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's it. Because I don't particularly care for watching Street Fighter.
Yeah.
It's
very hit or miss.
Yeah.
It really depends on the Street Fighter as well. Because Street Fighter V is really lame because, like, everyone's a blender and there's no, like, actual difference in playstyle. Like, it's getting better.
Yeah.
But it's, like, so, like, offense-focused that if a character is built around defense at all, they're just immediately bottom tier and you can't use them.
Right. I like watching Guilty Gear.
Yeah.
Holy shit, Guilty Gear is, like, just... so much fun to watch.
Guilty Gear best.
Guilty Gear is really fun to watch.
I would like to watch BlazBlue just to see like what it is, because I know the character designs are very interesting.
That's one way of putting it.
Yeah, they look really cool, at least to me.
Arc System Works consistently makes like very like good to watch fighting games.
Yeah,
they really like they're super mechanically complex and it takes a lot to like pick them up, but watching them is very fun.
Yeah, one of the reasons I also really like fighting games is that lots of fighting games like sort of tell a different story about like competitive video games.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like for example, like with League of Legends, there's only League and Dota, and there's only two aspects of how you can design a MOBA. But with fighting games, we have. But with fighting games, we have a bunch of different things we can study. Like we can study melee and how a meta can shift for if you kept playing a fighting game for like over 16 years, like super competitively. Like how Fox is considered consistently the best character for like most of the games. Probably like 10 years plus, and yet how results wise he's not number one because of like how the meta is like constantly shifting even in a game as old as that. And then we have like a bunch of, you know, we've got 1,000 different anime fighters that explore, you know, different systems in that regard. And we've got, you know, things like Street Fighter, which are sort of, or at least used to be like the sort of like king of neutral. And then you know, all these other things. I really like enjoy studying fighting games for that reason as well. So if they could, you know, get some money in there, I'd really appreciate it.
I really wish people had the desire to produce tournaments that aren't Street Fighter also.
Yeah.
And, I like, mean, things do. That aren't... Well,
It's just that, like, they're not going to be covered.
Right, yeah.
Like people produce this stuff.
I meant, one of my favorite, bigger names, not, like, just your local TO.
Yeah, but, like, there's this... probably the two tournaments I'm thinking of are CEO and Combo Breaker.
Mm-hmm.
And consistently, people refer to those as, like, if you ask someone what their favorite tournament in, like, the tournament series is, they're probably going to say one of those two names.
Yeah.
Because they show appreciation to, like, literally every single game. Everything gets main stage. Everything gets, like, a super big spotlight.
Yeah.
And, like, they're also major events. They're on the Capcom Pro Tour. You can go there and see, like, super, super high-level Street Fighter. And then 2 hours later on that same stage, you see Guilty Gear and BlazBlue and fucking Arcana Heart. And, like... we need more things like those.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely.
I also wish, mostly in Nintendo's case, but I wish they'd like actually embrace the competitive scene of a lot of their games.
Except
Nintendo
ARMS.
Of Japan.
Okay.
Like Nintendo of America is fine with it. It's just Nintendo of Japan.
Yeah.
And Nintendo. I don't want to open that fucking bag of worms.
I also wish a lot of, like, more variety of competitive shooters got esports coverage too.
Yeah.
Because we have Overwatch League, which is.
Okay.
Trash.
They've been having some better
Dallas
matches.
Dallas Fuel is really fun, though.
Oh, my God! Can we talk about how Dallas Fuel just keeps shooting itself in the foot?
It's so funny.
It's hilarious.
Something fucks up, like, every week for the Dallas Fuel.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Also, something keeps fucking up every single week for a Twitch streamer, and it's like, how hard? Anyway. How hard are you trying? Anyway. That's a discussion. But, anyway... I wish not only CSGO and Overwatch League got esports coverage.
I wish shooters. Competitive DDR were a thing.
I also wish it got coverage.
Let me rephrase it. I wish it were like the biggest thing.
Yes.
Not. I'm not here to settle for bigger. I'm only here to settle for biggest.
I want competitive rhythm games to also be a thing.
But DDR would be the king of them.
Yes.
Yeah, for sure.
I definitely think, like, if, say, rhythm-based esports was, like, to take over, I think DDR would probably be.
You know what I want to see? I want to see people like fucking Daigo walking up to the main stage.
So let me finish my fucking thought.
I want to see people like Daigo walking into a massive lit-up arena in Vegas, walking up to a fucking arcade DDR machine.
Yeah.
And I want there to just be cheering and confetti everywhere. He gets up there, this scrawny little nerd. He rips off his tearaway pants to reveal like a pair of like spandex shorts and like just these obscenely muscular legs that do not match his otherwise scrawny body. They're like completely oiled up, and he just faces the audience with these this completely scrawny frame, super muscular bodybuilder legs, and he just faces the audience, raises his arms, and then I just want that to be the event.
He doesn't actually play DDR. He just raises his hands.
Raises his legs. We just watch him stretch.
Okay. Yeah, he just puts his raises
play DDR.
Yeah, he places his ankle on the bar that DDR's player hold, and he does the stretch.
that's all I'm here for.
I want competitive sound vortex to be a thing.
Sound vortex.
Okay. So the funny thing about competitive rhythm games and shit is that the community for anime fighters in general fucking love rhythm games.
Yes, yeah. True.
There is a market.
An intersection, yeah.
There is competitive fucking Project Diva. Like, anything is possible.
This is where I begin. This is my origin story. I am going to host competitive rhythm game tournaments.
That's where I'm going to make my name as a competitive DDR player, right?
you host competitive DDR tournament
and then everyone will be like, holy shit, this is great. Let me dream.
No, you could dream. But low key.
No, I know.
But half the reason I would ever want to be like well known on the internet is so I could push things I really care about. I want to be big on YouTube just so I could be like, hey, I'm that piece of shit you all know. Here I am at a fighting game tournament. And then all the little children who don't know shit, like, oh, what's Street Fighter? What's Super Smash Brothers? And then fight games become big. Yeah, get all these little shits into Melee.
That's what I'm hoping happens with me in the house in Fata Morgana. I'm trying. I'm making it happen. Yeah. There is at least one review on Steam right now for the house in Fata Morgana that says, I'm so glad Red Bard is cool, recommended it to me. Yeah. One time, Ash actually ended up buying the game because of me. Hire me for your marketing, manga gamer. I promise I'll do good. Anyway, and Ash was scrolling through because they bought House of Fata Morgana, and they took a screenshot and they sent it to me.
Oh, that's great.
And it was one of the highlights of my life. I'm going to do it, guys. I will single-handedly make visual novels cool.
Single-handedly.
I don't think it's going to be single-handedly.
With no help from the actual visual novels themselves.
Yeah, no, those chumps are going to be profiting off of Kennedy's artwork.
The first thing that'll happen to make visual novels cool is someone like developing a visual novel that has gameplay that is an Ace Attorney.
Pyre.
You mean Zero is Ace? You mean Danganronpa?
Pyre.
You mean fucking Hotel Dusk? I mean, I want to make like visual novels that like...
Is this another pipe dream?
They don't even have to be cool. I would settle for like it no longer being debated on whether or not it's a game genre. Because a lot of people out there do make the argument that it's not. And, it's like, I see why you might think that. Like, I definitely understand the argument. But the fact of the matter is most of the time, they're just uninformed about what a visual novel actually is. You know, they're just like, oh, well, you're just fucking watching the story unfold. Like,
I mean, you're kind of doing that in RPG also.
Well,
just a little bit of combat thrown in.
Usually bad combat as well.
Let me tell you the main argument for why visual novels are games, or at the very least non-kinetic ones. I will admit, totally kinetic visual novels, fucking, those aren't games, but they're also the extreme minority. Anyway, choice making is a gameplay mechanic. Yeah. Unless you are psychic and you are able to make the optimal decision 100% of the time without any help, reference, or advice, then I guess they're not a game for you. You know, I will, you are apparently psychic and you're above this. And congrats. I levitate, yes. But otherwise,
yeah, choice go be making, a galaxy brain
choice making
else.
Is a skill. Yeah. You know, it yeah. is a form of gameplay, you right. know, because you've got to weigh the pros and cons. You got to think, okay, well, I want to get this ending, or, mm-hmm. you know, sometimes it's, okay, well, I just don't want to fucking get a dead end or something, or maybe yeah. you are trying to avoid a route, and you will choose things accordingly. It may not be a traditional skill set, but it is a skill set.
I feel like making informed decisions is a really valuable skill set.
Exactly. And that's why visual novels are games. It may not be the traditional yeah. kind of gameplay, but, you know, this is what I tell people. You know, the skills you bring into a first-person shooter are not the same skills you bring into a platformer. Are not the same skills you bring into a turn-based JRPG. Are not the same skills you bring into a rhythm game. It's just a different genre with a different skill set. That's all it is.
Yeah.
It is that simple. And that's my two cents.
Yeah, you're right. I don't think you're in disagreement here with anybody.
Which is fucking great, because I find that on the internet, it's quite the opposite.
No, yeah. People will disagree with you on the internet just to disagree with you. Because you are it's just that, like, doing opinions on the internet.
Yeah, I was about to say, like, on a lot of my... because, you know, I've made a pretty fair share of videos about visual novels. And
at least two.
Let's see, I've done, like... I mean, on my games about witches, two of those were visual novels, and those were the top two on the list. I did...
What did I say?
Visual novels. I did five great visual novels that are 5 hours or less. I did Why I Don't Like Doki Doki Literature Club. I can't think of any others at the top of my head. But here's how I know that these videos are still being watched, because at least once a day, usually on the Doki Doki video...
that makes sense.
At least once a day, I will get a comment seeing, well, none of this matters because visual novels aren't games anyway. At least once a day. And I've just stopped replying to them.
No, yeah.
I'm like, bitch, I have answered this. I honestly need to make a video about it. But
yeah.
Like I said, unless it is totally 100% kinetic, it's a game.
Yeah.
That said, totally kinetic ones, they exist. They're there. But they are the extreme minority.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's it.
Play the House of Fata Morgana. 0% prep on Steam.
I love it. But I do want to talk about Shadow of the Colossus a little bit. I am just over halfway through. I saw my beautiful girlfriend wake up a little bit in a dream. I still think what I'm doing is a bad idea.
Yeah.
I will not say whether it is or not is.
I know it has at least one bad ending.
So I will not emote my face in any way to confirm or deny any of your theories or suspicions.
So let me tell y'all some shit. Let me tell y'all some shit.
Do I get the good ending by, like, running away and being like, nah, fuck it. I'm not playing with life and death. Yeah, that's definitely it. So, thank you, guys.
So let me
not emote one way or the other to denote.
This is it.
I think I might, like, try and finish it up on stream tonight when this podcast comes out.
Dude, I want to tell y'all some shit. Yeah. So, like, I got a friend. And her boyfriend works at GameStop.
Okay.
So, like, she gets, like, a lot of cool discounted shit from him now.
Yeah.
And I was over at her house.
Yeah.
Like, last week.
Yeah.
And she was, her birthday was recently. And she was like, look at this. He got me the special edition Shadow of Colossus.
Yeah.
And then I was like, oh, yeah, that game looks super cool. And she's like, oh, yeah, I beat it in, like, a day. And then she proceeded to spoil the
whole game
for me. Because she thought I'd already played it. Because she was like, yeah, you love the PS2. And this is like, isn't it like...
It's like the PS2 game.
PS2 game?
Yeah.
So she was like, you know, after I told her, I was like, well, you just spoiled the whole thing for me, but thanks, buddy. She was like, I just figured you'd already played it.
Don't assume people have done things if it's considered a spoiler.
She's like, the PS2, that's like your favorite thing, right? And you've played like a fuck ton of those games, right? And
food is also my favorite thing. But I have not eaten every food there is to eat.
Yeah, so now it's like I've gone from being interested to Shadow of the Colossus, and now I'm just like, what's the point? What's the goddamn
point? I've played
that fucking Castlevania game that ripped it off. I've already felt the gameplay, and now I know the story. What's the fucking point?
say nothing because I am almost there.
Spoiler alert, it's sad.
Never, I will.
What? Mm-hmm. You heard me.
It's a story about doing something that involves bringing someone back from the dead, and it's sad?
It's sad?
I will not emote one way or the other.
But yeah, so
I will never spoil Shadow of the Colossus.
So yeah, I will probably never play it ever.
That's one of those games that, like,
I love
you it. Have you to. You can feel like it's one of those games you have to experience.
Yeah, you can't like describe Shadow of the Colossus to someone. You have to play it.
No, yeah.
And like,
well, unfortunately,
for you,
I'd still recommend it, even for the boss battles.
But I already played that fucking Castlevania.
Yeah, but that one was
not
bad.
The same.
But that's what people say, that it's the same.
No, that's the
make up your mind.
Apples and oranges.
You know how people are. It's like, wow, this looks similar to X game. I'm going to call it X game.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Also, you know, harken to the Dark Souls of the last 6 years.
Yeah.
Shadow of the Colossus and Dark Souls
and also,
of Castlevania ripoff.
That Castlevania game is actually not very similar to Shadow of the Colossus at all. Mm. As a matter of fact, it was literally one boss fight.
Incidentally,
and that's it.
Incidentally, I feel a need to mention that one boss fight is the only portion of that game I have played. And it is the only Castlevania I have ever played in my life. Just that nugget of, Lord of Shadows?
Lord of Shadows.
That little nugget of Lord of Shadows is the only part of it that I've actually played.
You literally played like this third worst Castlevania game.
And I played it for like 15 minutes.
I still feel like my horse thinks what I'm doing is a bad idea too.
I don't even know if that's programmed into the game or not.
But knowing what I know about horses, it definitely feels that way. Fuck, my arm hurts. What did I do to it? I probably bruised it or something.
But no, I really like Shadow of the Colossus. One of my favorite games of all time.
I think the last boss I did was the turtle.
Oh, okay.
Where you have to flip it over.
Yeah.
Oh no! I did the sand thing.
Oh,
the sand snake.
Oh, that fucker!
That fucker!
I hate that fight.
Yeah, I hate it too. Cause I couldn't figure out.
I think everyone hates that fight.
No, yeah. I also hated the third one because I couldn't get it to hit the exact spot that it needed to hit.
Which was the third one?
The one with the cuff.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh yeah.
I was playing it on stream too, and it took me like 50 minutes to hit that one spot.
That's definitely one of the weird things about streaming in general.
Yeah, Ash was watching, and they left after and messaged me a couple days after the fact, and they were like, oh, you're still playing through Shadow of the Colossus. How is it? And I was like, well, it's tedious, but I like it. There's a lot of deliberate stuff that you have to do. Like, everything feels like you're making a decision.
Yeah.
Which I'm probably making the wrong ones. Like,
again, no confirming or denying.
No, yeah, I know. I know.
It's sad.
Thank you.
I mean, that game is sad.
It started out like sad.
The entire game is. There is not a happy moment in that game.
That game is entirely melancholy. The only things that could be potentially happy are, like, just seeing a beautiful vista.
Yeah.
And like, that's it. The rest of it is just... And even then...
Because you don't feel good about killing the Colossi either.
No. Yeah. No. This game does a really good job of
They're all just minding their own fucking business. Like,
yeah, and you come on your fucking horse and you're like, yeah, I go! You march up and you're like, you just climb on this thing, you stab it, and it's like, what the...
Dude.
Like, honestly, imagine some Gulliver's Travel shit. You're just
this is walking, it!
You're just minding your own goddamn business.
This is Gulliver's Travels, the sad game, featuring your dead girlfriend.
And then you're just walking, and then all of a sudden, like, 50 tiny people just attack you.
This is some Gulliver's
Travel. With a great upper body.
Attack on Titan bullshit.
Yeah, he must be fucking ripped.
Dude, he's got that lean muscle.
Yeah.
Where he just does like 1,000 reps.
Does he actually have a name?
Wander.
That's his actual like real name.
Yeah, he's got one of those like how Link's name.
Yeah.
Where it's like a name that describes.
I kind of figured it was that, but I didn't know if it was like actually given to him in the game or whatever.
I don't think he's referred to as name, but that's like how that was like the in-game name or like the in-development name that they gave to him that now everyone refers to him as. So his name is Wander because he wanders around.
I really love my horse.
You know what the best case of that name is? Of, like, development names that just kind of happened.
No.
What?
Let me tell y'all about Guybrush Threepwood Mighty Pirate.
Guybrush Threep?
Guybrush Threepwood.
Mighty Pirate TM.
TM? What's in
from
there?
From Monkey Island. Let me see if I can remember the story. It was, they were just trying to think of a really stupid name, so they literally just combined randomized words, and they just called him that throughout development, and then when the time came to give him an actual name, they were like, you know what, what's wrong with this? What's wrong with this? A similar thing happened in The Wizard of Oz. It's called Oz because they couldn't think of a name, so they literally were just looking around the room they were in for something, and they saw a filing cabinet, and there was one file labeled O through Z. So they were like, there it is. It's called Oz.
Mm. Yeah. Cool. What else can I say about Shadow of the Colossus? Oh, it's fucking gorgeous.
Yeah.
And I watched footage of it from a boss battle I did, but on the PS2.
Yeah.
Not me. I watched footage of the boss battle, and
I'm still fucking gorgeous.
I was not like prepared for the fact that this game would be this game, but like on the PS2.
Yeah, It's crazy.
Like, the fact that they got to the technical level of programming for like the steps that you need to go through to take down this one boss is incredible to me.
Yeah, no, that game was super ahead of its time. Yeah. And there's this weird sort of thing where lots of gamers are like kind of against like visuals and sort of innovation.
I hate visuals.
Oh, ow.
Games should be completely black screen.
Please.
But
no visuals allowed. Oh, Jesus. We are only audio folks.
I gotta
consider the blind.
But it's like, you know, because of like how the fact that AAA games
you
are.
You look like you were in so much pain.
I was.
But yeah, because
sorry. Remember, because this isn't even this podcast. It's not a visual experience anymore. We are supporting audio only video games. You heard it here, folks. That's the kind of podcast we are. Audio only gaming is the future.
There's so many black. Top to fucking audio only.
You were saying.
Greg. Yes, because so many AAA games are the best looking games we have and also fucking terrible, we have now grown to associate games looking beautiful with them being bad.
Yeah.
But back in the day, you know, in the PS2 era, lots of the best games that came out were also the most beautiful games. And with like the most like expensive orchestras, you know, that you know performed their OSTs and stuff like that. So we've got this sort of like weird shift in culture where we no longer kind of obviously we appreciate things looking pretty, but it's like you get lots of people who praise Nintendo for their games being ugly, and it's like, and I'm also on that party, and I understand why, but it's weird how things have shifted.
I think we praise games more for being stylized.
I was about to say that. I was going to say Cuphead as the prime example.
Yeah, yes. Because anyone can make like a graphically good game now for the most part.
Well, I wouldn't say anyone, but
most with
enough money,
with a decent budget, it's correct. Very realistically possible.
But it takes a lot of work to take that and those graphics and translate them into something that is a style.
Yeah.
That is an active decision to say, I want everything to look like this, mm-hmm. and this is how the graphics are going to work.
Yeah, and I think we appreciate that a lot more today, too. Again, Cuphead.
Cuphead,
If that doesn't fucking speak enough for this argument,
and I guess Cuphead would be, like, quote-unquote ugly because it looks old. But it's visually stylish.
Because, like, it's stylish, the thing is, but like, stylish does not always equal visually pleasing. You know, like, fucking here's the thing Jackson Pollock was stylish. Does his stuff look good? Fuck no. Rothko was stylish. Did his look good? Fuck no. Picasso was stylish as hell. Did it look good? Absolutely.
Yeah, Anish Kapoor's The Bean is stylish as hell, but it's not good art. And he owns the only rights to Vanta Black, so fuck him.
No,
that's my only
with,
art world thing.
The thing with Cuphead is that it's not necessarily just an issue, just a thing of like looking stylish and stuff. Because like, remember, there is a very big difference between like just art style and art direction.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of the thing that makes something like Cuphead come together isn't just the fact that it looks like how it does. You know, fucking anyone can draw like that. You know. If you put in, if you get like an artist to draw for your game, you're like, yeah, draw like this. They'll fucking do it, you know.
Yeah.
It's the fact
it's
that
taking
they,
that
yeah,
style
they went
and
so
being
hard.
Able to like assemble it in a cohesive manner that functions and like complements the rest of the game.
The art direction of Cuphead is brilliant.
Let me tell you about the fucking art direction on Overwatch.
You look like you got something to say.
I do have something to say about my daughter! Torbjorn Jr.
Brigitte.
Was so much better looking in the short that came out that was Reinhardt's animated whatever. I don't know why or how they fucked up in pipeline and art direction, but...
But they did.
When I tell you she is a pinup version of herself, and I hate it, I mean every single consonant.
That means it pretty hard.
I mean,
she had a different face shape from other. Oh my god!
No, yeah, I think we've ranted on this before.
No, I definitely have because I'm still.
I understand how and why it happened. It's because she was a minor character who was on screen for 1 second. Yeah.
And everyone was like,
in a short.
I'm gay.
Yeah. And then this is the difference between, oh, this is a character that we're going to make a lot of money off of, make her pretty. Because you can't sell ugly women.
No, yeah.
Unless they're like, maybe you could sell like a hag character, but like that's it. You get like 1/20th of the amount of revenue if you make a hag character.
Correct.
And then everything else is just $0.
Yeah. Because everyone. I think the prime example with Overwatch is Moira.
Yeah.
She looks distinctly different from all of the other women
She's the sharpest. She's the sharpest woman in existence.
Yeah. And then
she's made of edges.
And I love her.
And everyone was like, ew, what?
What? Who said that?
Ugly woman? Piss?
I love her. I want her to step on me.
I do too. She is peak goth, and I would like to be that. However, I honestly don't think anyone had a problem with Brigitte, because even in her short she was still like quote unquote conventionally attractive for most people.
Yeah.
Which especially is especially why it nowadays. Bothers me. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like she would have been a good like quote unquote like natural faced beauty that you would have put in your game to have some like at least a little bit of diversity.
I've never heard anybody knock Overwatch for diversity.
It's been a very recent thing where, specifically because of Brigitte, there was this...
Brigitte. It's Brigitte.
It's Torbjorn Jr.
Twitter. It might have been on Reddit, but something was trending on the internet, and it lined up all the faces of the Overwatch females and then versus all the male characters.
Oh, I see what you mean. Yeah. Like diversity of shapes.
Yeah, diversity
of
shapes.
Oh, yeah.
Not diversity of backgrounds. Like literal diversity of design.
Yeah, I thought you meant diversity of backgrounds. No. And I was like, I've never heard anybody.
I have heard the argument that people are saying that the caricatures have been kind of reduced down to their like racial stereotypes, which like there's some merit to that. However,
the only person that looks like their race is Symmetra. Farrah does not look like a black woman at all.
She looks like Mercy.
She looks like all like Farrah actually has some sort of like traditional like Indian features.
Right.
But yeah, every other female in the game is just stock. What did I say?
It's Farrah.
In any case, I see what you mean, though, by lack of diversity.
Yeah,
the women all have the same goddamn face, except for Moira.
Yeah, except for Moira.
Because Moira's perfect and has never done anything wrong. By the way, I've never played as her.
I have. It's fun.
I like trying to optimize the ball and never doing it correctly.
I don't even know what you're talking about. I haven't played Overwatch in over a year.
That's good.
That's good. It's don't play it, actually.
Still an important game, though.
Yeah, it's done a lot. Anyway. Should we close out?
Do we have anything else to talk about?
I could get more mad about Brigitte.
Brigitte.
I could get mad about Torbjorn Jr. They also have like at least 6 cats in that family, and I really love it. As evidenced by all of the sprays that Brigitte has.
I actually saw this really, I don't remember the artist, unfortunately, but she drew, I think it was a girl, I actually didn't check. They drew, they kind of went back and tried to redesign all the Overwatch characters.
Yeah.
And they gave them all, like, unique faces and stuff. And I really liked it. Tracer was my favorite because she just looked really dumb. She had, like, a really round face and, like.
Oh, yeah.
And just, like, a lot of teeth with a smile.
That would make sense.
Oh, but yeah. May looks similar.
They thick baited us.
Make her fucking chubby.
Yeah. They're trying to have it both ways. You can't have your cake.
And you can't have your cake and have your Slim Shake. Anyway, let's round out with some announcements. First of all, we have more podcasts. I host the Coda Conflict.
What's that?
It is a Shadowrun actual play podcast.
What? That sounds so cool.
Greg hosts Life is a Fiasco.
What is that, Gregory?
It's a podcast where we play Fiasco.
Yeah. That's
it's
fucking an improv cool. game. What's Fiasco?
Glad you asked, Kennedy. Fiasco is an improv game where each player has a relationship with the person sitting next to them, and they use the relationship to sort of form a character, and then we sort of act out a sort of heavily stylized story.
That's fucking cool.
I agree.
That's real fucking cool.
And Adam, who's not currently on this podcast, but he hosts Thick Thoughts.
What's that?
That's an in-depth podcast where we delve real deep into a specific topic that we can't always. We've done an episode on Monster Hunter.
What else?
That's it for now.
Yeah, that's it for now.
Oh, okay.
It's still in the works.
Still fucking cool. Well, here's a question that people will probably ask. Is it going to be exclusively like video game related topics?
No, it's not going to be exclusively video game related topics. It's going to be movies. It might be books. Maybe not, because I'm the only one that reads.
I read.
It might be books. it could be like conspiracy theories that we saw on the internet. The possibilities are really endless because it is not like branded in any way.
That's fucking cool.
Aside from being in depth.
That's fucking deep.
And we might take suggestions for it as well. I don't know if Adam wants to open it up that way, but I think it would be great.
All right.
So yeah, check with Adam before you start sending him suggestions for Thick Thoughts. And we stream on Twitch.
What's that?
Twitch is a website where you can watch people play video games live online.
Y'all can't see it, but she was William Shatnering the hell out of that.
Dan streams on Twitch starting not this coming Monday, the one after.
The Monday after next. I'm going to be back.
Is that the 23rd?
I have no fucking idea.
I think so. I think it is. Not next Monday. Not the Monday after that. Yeah, it's the 23rd.
Okay, it's the 23rd. I might stream earlier than that, just depending on whenever the fuck Kennedy leaves.
I leave on the 11th.
Yep. Yeah, so I might stream between like the 12th and that. Wait, yeah. No,
and by leave, I mean like leave Boston, not the live cast.
If you leave on the 11th, then...
You can stream the 16th.
Yeah, 16th,
anyway,
that one.
Greg streams every Thursday. Well, these are like assigned times, but we will be streaming more often than that, probably. Yeah, Greg streams.
Yeah, tune in if you want to hear somebody be really bad at video games, but then try to hyper-analyze
how they work. What kind of video games, Gregory?
Well, recently I've been playing a lot of just sort of really hard indie games. I've been playing Slay the Spire and Into the Breach.
Mm-hmm.
I've been sort of... failing at them miserably, but like sort of really going through the thought process behind my decisions, because they're both turn-based sort of games, so I'm able to like take my time, analyze, and then watch as everything falls apart as I make the wrong choice.
All right.
Adam and Pat also stream. Adam streams Super Mario Odyssey speedruns, among other things.
Yeah.
I think that's what he started out with, and it moved into like Luigi's Balloon World. Mm-hmm. And it's moved into like other things recently. Pat streams with Derek, also known as Wolfborg.
Also known as Nugget.
Also known as Nugget in our friend circle. Because he asked for a nickname and was eating chicken nuggets. Anyway.
Wait, what? He said, yo, can I have a nickname?
Yes.
Okay.
Can I have a nickname?
Yeah. John F.
Dorcas.
John F. Dorcas. John F. Dorcas. Anyway.
I want that to be my new Christian name. They, on my birth certificate.
They usually play Overwatch games with viewers. I've seen them play Jackbox. We play golf with friends. And everyone hops in on that Discord channel, which I'm going to mention in a minute.
Still William Shatner and everything, y'all. It's very entertaining.
That's a good bit.
You can feel the Shatner, even in the voice. I'm sure as a listener, you could hear, you could feel the Shatner.
I don't.
You don't know who William Shatner
is? I'm not very familiar with pop culture, okay?
He was the guy who played Captain Kirk, and he's very infamous for overacting.
Great, cool.
And he's the guy from Travelocity.
Oh, yeah. He's the gnome.
No.
Oh. And I stream. I stream usually Tuesdays. I'm going to be streaming Shadow of the Colossus tonight when you hear this podcast. Hopefully, if you're listening on a Tuesday. If you're not, I'm going to... probably be working my way through an Animal Crossing challenge in The Sims 4. Where I make the entire life cast, and we are going to have to pay rent.
Oh, God. I don't want to be, selling
be a part of this. Fish and bugs and paintings and trying to collect everything we can.
Bitch, I don't want to pay rent.
Well, we got it. It's The Sims.
The rent is too damn high.
Yes. And we have a website where you can find... Can you let me fucking finish? We have...
Didn't you miss me?
Regrets. I've got a few.
This is where I pull apart my hoodie and it just said, I have regrets tattooed on my chest.
No regrets.
We have a website where you can find all of our links to our social media. We have Instagram. We have Facebook, but we don't really use it. We have Twitter. You can find our Twitch page there. You can find iTunes links for all of our podcasts that are live.
But don't forget Twitch.
Yeah, don't forget Twitch.
And Discord.
You can subscribe to us on Twitch if you want us to produce more content.
Or at the very least, give us a follow.
Yes.
We're desperate.
We're not that desperate, but we would like you to come be a part of the LifeCast family.
Please. Pay rent with us.
You can also find out a little bit more about us on our website. I am working on an about page for everybody where Kennedy's lovely little caricatures of our heads will be next to a description of each of us.
Cool.
And that's it. We hope you enjoyed the LifeCast. Feel free to reach out to us on Twitter at twitter.lifecast.zone. We'll take you right to our page. Or at @the_LifeCast. You can find our Discord at discord.lifecast.zone. And that will be an invite to join our Discord server. And our website is thelifecast.net. Thank you for listening. We'll see you in a week.
Have we started recording yet?
No.
Oh, cool.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to...
No, go ahead. Do it.
No. It's fine, Kennedy. You can just get up and get chapstick.
You know what?
I'll put this in at the end. What did she say?
I have eczema, fucker.